Pruebas de certificación. Escucharás el audio dos veces. Dispones de 2 minutos para leer la tarea, 1 minuto entre escuchas, 1 minuto al finalizar la segunda escucha. Tarea 1.
Zero.
There are few things more frustrating than living in a country, loving a country, having a family in a country, paying taxes, starting businesses in a country, and yet you cannot vote in the national elections because that is a privilege that is reserved for Spanish citizens, and I am a lowly permanent resident. Fair enough, you say, James. Just go ahead and get your Spanish citizenship. What's the big deal? Well, the thing is, to take Spanish citizenship, by Spanish law, I would have to renounce my New Zealand citizenship. And I don't really want to do that to my mother. Look, in a practical sense, I could have both citizenships and nobody would really care. But should I have to be able to vote? And as I looked into this more, I learned it's actually a thing. There's a whole Wikipedia page on what's called non-citizen suffrage. And it turns out that requiring people to be citizens in order to vote is more the rule than the exception. See, here I am as a naive New Zealander thinking that was how it was everywhere, because in New Zealand, you only have to be a permanent resident to vote.
One.
If I had an arch nemesis, it would be canned white asparagus. They're invariably served by my mother-in-law on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, or if I'm lucky, both. You get a massive pile of them on your plate, and to make matters worse, they're served with this big gooey dollop of mayonnaise, and the whole family is groaning at how delicious they are while I eat them one by one, closing my eyes and thinking of Mother New Zealand. And to make matters worse, they come in a variety of sizes, but including really big. So they come from normal to fat to very fat, muy grueso. And the big ones are called cojonudos, which kind of loosely translates as the dog's bollocks, because it's apparently what the former king said when he was served a plate of delicious and enormous canned white asparagus, presumably at Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, or if he was lucky, both.
Two.
So next up, nepotism. Now, nepotism is rife in Spanish society, in all levels of Spanish society, from the corner store, small businesses, right up to the highest echelons of government. And why it really frustrates me is because I see a lot of businesses struggle in this country. And although nepotism isn't the only reason, it's like they're not putting their best foot forward if they're hiring cousins to do their translations or their website instead of getting the best person for the job. But it's quite hard to hate this aspect of Spanish society because it comes from a good place. In the end, this is a society where family networks and friend networks are really strong. And if someone in a family is struggling, then it's kind of the whole family's problem to gather around and try and provide help to that person.
3.
Okay, so there is nothing quite like sitting down in a Spanish bar in the morning for breakfast, and everything in the world is perfect until you take a sip of the coffee. Welcome to the wonderful world of Torrefacto. If you've never heard of it, it's a historically fascinating yet gastronomically terrifying process whereby sugar is burnt onto the outside of the coffee bean. It originated, I believe, in Mexico, where miners would use this process to preserve their coffee when they were taking it down underground for months at a time. And it was brought to Spain because it was a great way to ship coffee around the country without it spoiling. And the tradition for our sins continues today in Spain, meaning that when you drink straight black espresso coffee in a bar, it'll taste bitter. And in fact, I believe that the fact that most Spaniards will drink their black coffee with sugar or with milk is to mask the flavor, the true flavor of the coffee. Because without either of those things, you really are exposed to the true taste of the abomination.
4.
Okay, last one. So picture this. You're at a party with your friends or maybe your partner, and you agree as a group or with your partner that it's time to leave. It's time to get going. Now, international custom dictates that from the moment of agreeing to leave as a group or as a couple, you have about 10 minutes to get out the door. But that rule doesn't apply in Spain. Here, the Spaniard will spend the next hour slowly inching towards the door and engaging in any potential conversation that comes their way. Maybe they'll see someone they haven't spoken to yet, or they'll realize there's something they haven't mentioned to that person they've been talking to for the last 4 hours. And look, I wouldn't mind this if it was agreed that we're not going to leave for another hour. And I would just get another drink and enjoy myself. But what I can't handle is living for an hour in this kind of goodbye no man's land.
Zero.
There are few things more frustrating than living in a country, loving a country, having a family in a country, paying taxes, starting businesses in a country, and yet you cannot vote in the national elections because that is a privilege that is reserved for Spanish citizens, and I am a lowly permanent resident. Fair enough, you say, James. Just go ahead and get your Spanish citizenship. What's the big deal? Well, the thing is, to take Spanish citizenship, by Spanish law, I would have to renounce my New Zealand citizenship. And I don't really want to do that to my mother. Look, in a practical sense, I could have both citizenships and nobody would really care. But Should I have to be able to vote? And as I looked into this more, I learned it's actually a thing. There's a whole Wikipedia page on what's called non-citizen suffrage. And it turns out that requiring people to be citizens in order to vote is more the rule than the exception. See, here I am as a naive New Zealander thinking that was how it was everywhere, because in New Zealand, you only have to be a permanent resident to vote.
One.
If I had an arch nemesis, it would be canned white asparagus. They're invariably served by my mother-in-law on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, or if I'm lucky, both. You get a massive pile of them on your plate, and to make matters worse, they're served with this big gooey dollop of mayonnaise, and the whole family is groaning at how delicious they are while I eat them one by one, closing my eyes and thinking of Mother New Zealand. And to make matters worse, they come in a variety of sizes, but including really big. So they come from normal to fat to very fat, muy grueso. And the big ones are called cojonudos, which kind of loosely translates as the dog's bollocks, because it's apparently what the former king said when he was served a plate of delicious and enormous canned white asparagus, presumably at Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, or if he was lucky, both.
Two.
So next up, nepotism. Now, nepotism is rife in Spanish society, in all levels of Spanish society, from the corner store, small businesses, right up to the highest echelons of government. And why it really frustrates me is because I see a lot of businesses struggle in this country. And although nepotism isn't the only reason, it's like they're not putting their best foot forward if they're hiring cousins to do their translations or their website instead of getting the best person for the job. But it's quite hard to hate this aspect of Spanish society because it comes from a good place. In the end, this is a society where family networks and friend networks are really strong. And if someone in a family is struggling, then it's kind of the whole family's problem to gather around and try and provide help to that person.
Three.
Okay, so there is nothing quite like sitting down in a Spanish bar in the morning for breakfast, and everything in the world is perfect until you take a sip of the coffee. Welcome to the wonderful world of Torrefacto. If you've never heard of it, it's a historically fascinating yet gastronomically terrifying process whereby sugar is burnt onto the outside of the coffee bean. It originated, I believe, in Mexico, where miners would use this process to preserve their coffee when they were taking it down underground for months at a time. And it was brought to Spain because it was a great way to ship coffee around the country without it spoiling. And the tradition for our sins continues today in Spain, meaning that when you drink straight black espresso coffee in a bar, it'll taste bitter. And in fact, I believe that the fact that most Spaniards will drink their black coffee with sugar or with milk is to mask the flavor, the true flavor of the coffee. Because without either of those things, you really are exposed to the true taste of the abomination.
Four.
Okay, last one. So picture this. You're at a party with your friends or maybe your partner, and you agree as a group or with your partner that it's time to leave. It's time to get going. Now, international custom dictates that from the moment of agreeing to leave as a group or as a couple, you have about 10 minutes to get out the door. But that rule doesn't apply in Spain. Here, the Spaniard will spend the next hour slowly inching towards the door and engaging in any potential conversation that comes their way. Maybe they'll see someone they haven't spoken to yet, or they'll realize there's something they haven't mentioned to that person they've been talking to for the last 4 hours. And look, I wouldn't mind this if it was agreed that we're not going to leave for another hour. And I would just get another drink and enjoy myself. But what I can't handle is living for an hour in this kind of goodbye no man's land.